Well, somebody's awake out there. Well, it's been a long week, that's for sure, but I think it'll be shaping up today. It'll start a new week. We're going to go ahead and go to Jonah chapter 1. For those of you who don't know, it's a minor prophet. It's a major story of a minor prophet. And I did some looking around on it, some reading around on it, and there's everything to say about Jonah, but nothing to say about Jonah. And I had a bookmark, but it's so small I can't hardly find it. But it's right before Micah, right after Obadiah. I read through the book of Jonah. Look, you know, I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to talk about, but reading through it, I've never really grasped how almost expedited this story seems in the Bible. I mean, you can read through the book of Jonah really quick. You know, you look through these kids' books about Jonah, it's like really quick and you feel like it's simplified. But when you read through it here, it's almost about the same. It's really short and concise. I mean, it doesn't waste any time. There's no extra detail. So it's easy to kind of just glance over it, tell the story, and go on. But there's a lot more in the book of Jonah than there is that people give it credit for. And I think it would benefit us to look through a little bit and kind of pencil in on a subject and stay there for a second. But we're going to just read, I might as well just read the whole of chapter 1 to get started here. So Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And when he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Go figure. "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." What can you get out of this first chapter? It starts with what the Lord says, and ends with Jonah in the belly of a fish, also called a whale in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. It's almost targeting it's a string of events that started with one thing, and that's Jonah running. It seems like this whole chapter in his life was going to go well because he fled on a ship going to Tarshish, going in another direction, opposite to what God had told him. It started with Jonah and the Lord seemingly in a good spot. The Lord telling him to go to Nineveh, calling him to Nineveh, to go preach to Nineveh. But instead, he just turns and goes. The subject of running is kind of like the way I heard it growing up, was there's two ways you can do it. You can do what the Lord has called you to do, or you can run from it. What messes this up is the idea of what the Lord or how the Lord calls you to something. The mystical call of God on our lives is something that everyone talks about, but not many people really know how to go about it or really want to hear it. There's a few aspects to the subject to consider for us. You know, for the young man, it's a big step in your life to dive into what you believe the Lord has called you to do. And if you grew up where I grew up, it was a trend just for the men, and then it kind of developed into something the ladies had too, because you can't just focus it on the men. You just can't do that. It's not politically correct. So the new trend for young ladies is there's more to this than running a house. So that call of God to you is going out into the world and being a witness for all good ladies out there. This is what it's pitched as. Don't be fooled. Everything God has put in place has a purpose. The call that we so often speak of is not one that's come down in pixie dust and roses. The call of God can be found in nowhere else but the Word of God and following God. We'll get more into that later. Churches have come up with spiritual boot camps in order to help you find your place in God's kingdom. To help you find your place in the church. What group do you belong in? Everyone knows about it's a term come way back when, but it's called a clique. And a clique, and I wrote down definition so I wouldn't get it all mixed up. It's a term developed over the past few years to describe a set group of people that gather regularly together to get a purpose done, but is stereotyped heavily. So, essentially, these spiritual boot camps are to stereotype you into a clique of the church to get things done the way they need it done. Be it in the school or the church or your job or anywhere, it gives you an identity. That is the true purpose of what it's there for. It's to give you an identity, something to identify with. So the call of God has been changed over from being something the Lord will truly call you to, such as he did Jonah, to something to give you an identity. It's a place for you. It's a job for you. It's a something to define yourself by, is that call of God. That's what it's turned into. So, what is the call of God? Let's just run over that real quick. Notice in the first few verses that God commands Jonah to go. Was that God's calling? Where did he get that calling? From the very words of God. He didn't sit under a tree and pray for 90 days in order to get what his purpose in life. He didn't come to the altar every Sunday, and though I believe you should you have some business, he didn't come to the altar for the sole purpose of finding out what God's purpose was in his life and nothing else. We pitch this God's calling as something we have to put out there ourselves in order to find out. We're not pointed to the Word anymore, we're pointed to the preacher and what he has said. God's Word is the only way you're going to develop God's calling for your life. God's call isn't some mystical calling. It's not some audible voice, no booming command, no writing on the wall. It's the writing in the book. The only way to gain God's calling is to first follow God. God's true calling for everybody, not to be a blanket statement, but to gain your purpose in God's kingdom, you first have to be following God. His calling is for you to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, here's the word, go get some men and bring them in. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Every command the Lord gives the disciples when he starts his ministry is follow me. He didn't say, go over here and you'll find what I have for your life. Instead, he said, follow me. And the purpose was so that he would be their life afterwards. You have to understand that this calling that God gave to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it, was not something to gain God's purpose for his life. The purpose was that he was following him, and this is what he told him to do from his words. Every purpose that we will have for our life, this mystical God's calling that we hear about 100% all our life, you grew up in church, is in the Word of God. So starting out with that, if you don't start here, then nothing else is going to... I mean, it always comes back to this. If you don't start there, it's not going to pan out for you. But notice that Jonah had God's words, and that was his call, to follow Christ wherever he would want him to go, just like ours is. But also notice that Jonah didn't answer. He doesn't say, no, I don't want to do that. But actions surely do speak louder than words. The words of God are solid and have a purpose, and is to guide us in the ways of God. And when you walk in the footsteps of Christ, you will find his calling for you. And it doesn't matter how much you stand around and wait, that's not how God works. God is a God of action. All of his commandments are actions. They're displays of your obedience to him. So notice Jonah's action. He doesn't say, no, I'm not doing that. He doesn't say, I'd rather not do that. You know, can we adjust this? Can I make you a deal? You know, he doesn't say that. He just gets up. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Very next verse. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. All through the Old Testament, you see how much God moves and tells prophets and enemies what he's going to do and not what he's thinking about doing. How does that play into what we do? We have to read, understand, and pray, and most importantly, work to understand God's calling to us. It's always referring to a work of God, not a standing assembly. And lately we are too busy in the business of others and not busy in the business of the Father that we've taken scripture verses and posted them on Facebook instead of engraving them on the tablets of our heart. Mm-hmm. Jonah had these words of God. How many times do you think he heard these words of God before he even ran off to Tarshish? I mean, you can't even speculate because it says right here. But he just rose up and left. And it's kind of like what he did. You know, we've taken his Holy Spirit and made an entity of legalism. This Bible right here is something that in large part Christians take and use as a battle against legalism instead of a battle against sin. Putting all that together, running doesn't always mean getting up and fleeing intentionally from the presence of the Lord. Jonah rose up and left. He wasn't going. He didn't say no, but he said, in his heart, he said no and fled to Tarshish. He didn't want to do the work of the Lord. And we'll see why later. There's reasons that's listed. He was... It even says here, it was his Lord. It was his God. He tells people on that ship, it was his God. But he didn't want to do his work. He didn't want to do what he commanded. And that's a difficult spot to be in. His answer was to run away. to flee, go the other direction, just not be there. If he's not there, well then, you know, it's kind of convenient that he's too far away, he can't do it. He don't have the money. He doesn't have the go-to to get there. He's already paid his fare to Tarshish, you know. No refunds, buddy. But I feel like we do the same thing in our lives when we know what God has called us to do. It's almost like we've taken his holy callings and kind of transformed it into a flowery bed of ease and made it a new stereotype, the calling of God. And using that, we've developed it into something we can use an excuse not to do what God has called us to do. We use life as an excuse not to do what God has called us to do. How many of us have found us in this position where you know what God's called you to do? You know what you have to do in order to do the calling of God. Because a lot of times when you read this word, you know what God has called you to do. You know that there is sacrifice involved. Calling of God is not always easy. What he's called you to do is not always going to be easy. And it's not always going to be pain-free in order to do it. You have to give up some stuff. Jonah here, he said, go to Nineveh. He went up to Tarshish. You reckon he had a bed in Tarshish or, I mean, anything? No. You reckon he had a house up in Nineveh that he could go stay at? Probably not. It don't even tell you where Jonah was. He said he went to Joppa to go up into Tarshish. But he doesn't tell you where he was. I mean, that's leaving home either way you go. Maybe he didn't have family up in Tarshish, but it wasn't Nineveh, and that's all he cared about. And a lot of times in life, it's what we care about. It's somewhere we can go, and we think we can go and make a name and shake a leg and get stuff done, and it's easier than over here. It's easier than staying where you're at. It's easier than going where God's told you to go. You'd rather go make a new life over here where you think you have some opportunity than go over here where God's told you and you know you have opportunity. But you don't want that opportunity. So, how have we got here? How's the calling of God so easy to ignore to most people nowadays? Because we have done that. We've turned it into that stereotype that we have now, that calling of God. We've turned it into something you have to seek for yourself and not the guidance of the Bible. We've turned it into some sort of a genie in a jar that we rub and it pops out instead of this word of God. Do you think we did that radically all at once? Or you reckon it started with one person and slowly moved that way? It started back when someone did what Jonah did and ran from what God told them to do. But again, like I said earlier, running comes in more than just jumping up and running. Physically running. Spiritually, you're running. Physically, you're in church 3 times a week. You're at every church activity, praising the Lord with your mouth. Standing up here and teaching Sunday school while you're running. And all it takes is turning it into another responsibility or another good deed to stick in your belt. Church is something you can come to and earn points with God for doing it now. We run everything on a point system. We're in church. So God up there, just like Mom does here on the front pew, marks us that we're present. We can deceive ourselves so much to think that we are doing God a service for coming to church and worshiping Him. And I wish we could recover long enough to realize that at one point we heard God and said that we didn't want to do it. I think if we're all truly searching, we all know whether it's just going to the job and being a good witness and coming to church and worshiping Him and leading our family the way it is to go. The first calling that every father is going to have is leading his family in the way they should go. Not everyone's calling is to get up here and preach. Not everyone's calling is to go out to the mission field like the McCormick's right there. But shouldn't we be willing to do it if God said you need to preach? Or if God said you need to go out to Peru when you have a cushy doctor's job? I mean, I know what that's a big thing right there, to leave a secure job like that. Both nurses living there in Georgia, pretty weather too. And now you're going to go to Peru with no support from anybody. That's humongous to me. But they were willing to give up everything to follow the calling of God. Now, did they wake up one day and say, I think God wants us to go to Peru? Well, no. They just continued in everyday life, reading the Bible, going to church, living for God, as God has called us all to. And God had another higher calling for them, if you will. If they were not first willing to accept that calling, would the call be any worth to anybody? If you had not responded to the call to preach, where would a lot of people be right now? You may not want to admit it, but I know that a few people in this room would not be where they're at right now. Now, why would someone want to run away from God's calling? That's an open question, if anyone wants to answer.
Fear.
Fear. He says that later, why he didn't want to go up there. Mm-hmm.
Rebellion.
We all want to be honest, the answer lies in the mirror.
Self.
We have not thrown aside selfishness. And it lies inside us. And we want to serve God, but we want to pull for ourselves, which has led into another popular doctrine, so that you will know in your heart where God wants you to do and where he wants you to do it at. And that God calls your heart, and that you should just follow your heart. That's more of that Disney Channel religion, and it doesn't work. We've decided that we want to live for God and have our best life now, like Joel Osteen says. But we want to have our best life now. God calls to your soul and always had. He saves your soul, not your body. We are to follow Him in spirit and in truth and live our lives that way. But too many times we want to come here. It's almost like health benefits. Everyone wants health benefits, but no one wants to pay for them. Everyone wants the benefits of going to church. Everyone wants the benefits of God in their life. Because who would not want the benefits of God in our life? Of course, how many sermons do we hear about the benefits of God in our life? It's all over the radio. If you flick that radio on to a Christian station and they're preaching, what you're going to hear mostly is how the love of God enriches your life. Keyword, riches. Or just peace in your heart. Who doesn't want peace in their heart? If there's no peace in your heart, there's no peace in your life. Too many times we have false peace in our heart from this kind of preaching. Excuse me. We can't have the calling in our life if we don't follow it. We have to first follow the ultimate calling of following Christ. The true benefits of following Christ is peace in your life. But it's not peace while doing everything you want to do. But if you're following His commandments, everything you want to do, you'll have peace in your life. His true calling is to follow Him in spirit and truth and know His word and repeat His word, mostly to yourselves. You can quote the Bible to everybody in this room, but the most good it should do is in your heart. The most good it should do is in your life, to show people the Bible. So why did Jonah run? Later on, you see that he had his own opinions about Nineveh. He had his own opinions about where God had called him to. He had not thrown aside his opinion of himself. Obviously, Jonah knew better than God when God told him, go to Nineveh. Obviously, we know better than God when he says, you don't need that in your life. You need to get rid of that. In order to follow me closer, you need to get that out from between us. Obviously, we know better when we say, well, God, you obviously have first place in our life. This is just something I like to do. This is just something I like to have around. This is just something that I kind of enjoy. It's not going to hurt nothing. Reading His Word, you have to be open to making those changes unopposed to Him. Biggest opposition to God, Satan doesn't even need really to be in there, because if you haven't thrown aside selfishness, you will oppose God more in your personal life than he will ever oppose God. Selfishness is a sin that has to be purposely and directly pulled up by the roots from our hearts individually. And this is the biggest obstacle to absolutely everything. Say this slowly to yourself: Christ died for me. Does it have any effect? Do you know what it truly means? And too often we treat it as some sort of Christian cliche, but it's a truth that should break us and humble us every time it's said. So what are the effects of running away? We read this whole chapter and we've already kind of seen what happened to everybody around him. It hurts those we are called to. If he did not end up responding at the end, then that's all a little later, we'll expose, a little more of that. But if he had not gone to Nineveh, what would not have happened? At the end of the story, we all know that Nineveh repents and ends up coming back to God, or coming to God, rather. Whatever happens in the end, they come back at that point and save X amount of people. It hurts our relationship with God. Obviously, God was not happy with Jonah at this point. Obviously, it was not pleasing to God that he got up and run off on a boat to Tarshish. Obviously, Jonah did not care. It was storming. I mean, it tells you everything right here, that it was storming, and he went down to the ship and fell asleep. He probably knew what was going on, to be honest with you, but it wasn't going to help him, so he just went down and hid again. And lastly, it kills the effectiveness in everything we do, whether it be our church, our home, our work. It kills the effectiveness of everything. Why is that? Go back to number two. It kills our relationship with God, which kills your relationship with everybody around you. If you are not right with God first, you won't be right with your wife/husband. You won't be right with your friends. You won't be right with your family. Everything just falls apart. Why is that? In Christ, we do stuff in Christ. Broken fellowship with Christ, we do stuff through ourselves, because we know how to do it. You do not know how to get along with people. I know a lot of people that are brawlers, and that's because they really think they know what people mean when they say it. And a lot of times, they don't know what people mean when they say it. They take it the wrong way, and it goes the wrong direction. And they're just never on good terms with at least two people in their life at all times. And that ruins your effectiveness. How can you be a witness to that person if you're on bad terms with them at least twice a week? Or even better, this person you're friends with all the time and understands you and gets them, and you're totes besties and like you're 100% now and forever. How can you have any effect with them when you're on outs with one, two people at a time, and you're always going back, well, this person said this, and I'm just not going to have that, and so on and so forth, and that's just not going to happen with me. And you're showing anger and bitterness and spewing hatred about them most of the time. Well, that ruins everything with that one person. If you're truly walking as we are called to walk, because if you're saved, you're called to walk this way, then why don't we put aside that selfishness and respond to the call of God? There's so much relying on you just walking in the Word. There's so much relying on you, Dad, Mom, if you are not walking in the Word. We've seen kids go downhill so many times. I mean, just, I'm not that old, but you've seen a lot more than I have, where sometimes you're so enveloped in you walking in the Word that you're almost just worried about you walking in the Word, when really we are called as an umbrella to make sure our whole family is walking that way. Running from God has never benefited anybody anything at all at any point in history. Why should it be different for us as a local church? We are called to walk. And if we are called something higher, we are called to respond to that. And if you don't respond to that higher calling, you can't continue walking as you are called to walk. You have to be willing to give Christ everything. Willing to give God anything that He should call you to do. If it requires you giving up everything in life, you should be willing to do it. Easier said than done, let me tell you that. But without that, you break fellowship with everything. That's all I got.